Hello. It is great to see you all for this weekend of celebration. We're doing a lot of celebrating this weekend. You know, during worship, we saw the numbers, the stats up on the screen, and those are worth celebrating. The numbers are evidence of the amazing things that God's been doing in us and through us as we've been saying yes to Jesus. They show us, as we see the numbers, we see how together we get to continue what Jesus started. We get to work on that. And I know that there are some of us, that more than others, that are into celebrating numbers, that love numbers. I mean, you got your accountants and your, you know, astrophysicists, maybe your math majors, nerds, Vulcans. You know, my kind of people, right? The people who love nerding out with the numbers. You know, when the numbers are good, we feel good. Well, we would feel good if we felt emotions. Yet, we all need to remember today that the numbers represent real people, not like abstract theoretical people, real people in our community. The numbers that you've seen today, they represent you. They're us. They're the people that we've reached out and touched, real people in relationship with each other. Relationship. You know, relationships can get tricky. I'm sure you've seen that in your life. I would guess that each and every one of us has had a relationship that's gone wrong, that became painful. You know, maybe a family relationship, someone at work or school, you know, a friend, someone we were dating, where it got hard and it hurt. And so we're often tempted to pull back from relationship, to isolate ourselves, protect ourselves from that hurt. But here's the thing. Here's what we're talking about today. You know, God, Jesus, he is making this world perfect again. The twin ports, our workplaces, our families, us, he's making it all perfect again through relationship. Through relationship. Yeah, when we say yes to Jesus, we're saying yes to a relationship with him. And we're saying yes to him healing our relationships. Right? And then working through those relationships to continue what he started, to bring his kingdom, to touch people, bring his perfect world. That's what we're looking at today. And if you think about it, when we say yes to God and his mission, we're saying yes to people and relationships. Yeah, just think about it. God, he loves people. Jesus, right? He didn't do it. He didn't go to the cross and die for the money, for the fame, for the power. He's the Son of God. He had all that, right? He went to die to the cross to rescue us, people. He is madly crazy in love with people. And God, he works through people. Jesus, right? God became a people, a person. And as we've been studying through the book of Acts, we've seen how this Acts is the story of us. It's the story of how people get to continue what Jesus started. The Holy Spirit in us, we get to be part of that work. Yet, people are messy and hard. Maybe you know this. We all know this, right? And it feels like maybe it's even getting worse and worse. Did you ever watch TV, the news? We are so divided, right? We are so mean to each other. So more and more, we isolate ourselves, even though we're meant to be together. We isolate ourselves. Doctors now, they tell us that isolation and loneliness, it is twice as deadly as obesity. We are made for relationship. Bad, unhealthy relationships are literally killing us. But it doesn't have to be that way. We've seen that here. Over the last 20 years, God, he has done great things through the vineyard as people have pressed into healthy relationships. Now, it's easiest for us to see all the numbers or to think about how this community has had such a powerful impact on the Twin Ports to now and not to think about how we got there. Well, we got there through relationship. A huge part of that is our relationship with our senior pastors, Michael and Brenda. Yeah, one of the things we are celebrating today is that 20 years ago, they said yes, yes to relationship with us. We are celebrating today the power of saying yes to God. In fact, we got a video that I'd like to show you that talks about that. Mm-hmm.
The vineyard there in Duluth has been leading literally a few thousand people to the Lord in the last several years. That's a big deal. Let me say it again. A few thousand human beings have been touched by the grace and the love of God through your community of faith. Let it sink in. People have given time, energy, and money through the last couple of decades to make this church possible. And what you have done with it is astounding.
If you say go, we will go. If you say wait,
well, a long time ago, a bunch of folks came out of a fellowship that was here in Duluth, and a bunch of folks came out of a Methodist church in Lakeside, and so the vineyard formed.
So we did have pastors filling in for a whole year, and Michael filled in and had no intention of applying.
It came down to a bunch of different candidates, and it just seemed like both Michael and Brenda had qualifications to be the senior pastor that we were looking for, and so the two of them could be actually a team.
I think what I remember most is just standing in worship with Brenda on vocals and Michael on guitar, and that just being in that presence of the Spirit and saying, yes, God, what is next? Where are we going? What are we doing?
It was a great time of, you know, what does it mean to be a disciple, and how do we grow in that? And God, what are you drawing me into?
We always invite the Holy Spirit. We believe in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so we make ample opportunity for people to experience God and what He has specifically for them.
As a community, we're all learning how to just love our neighbor. And that's something that I think each of us is going to constantly be getting better at. But I think that we, in the last 20 years, I think we've all grown and learned how to do just to love our neighbor a little bit more.
In your obedience, through exceptional leadership of Brenda and Michael and the staff and the board and all the people that lead your congregation, you've just kept saying yes. When you say yes, God says, let's do some more. You say yes, God says, let's do some more. That's the way this thing works.
We felt like we were on, you know, the ground zero of just cooperating with the Holy Spirit and inviting Him to come and do what He wants to do and wanted to do in the life of the vineyard.
The whole body grows by whatever each of the parts is supplying, and it grows in love. So for me, I just know people poured into me, and it made all the difference in my knowing Jesus and growing. So the chance for me to pour into others, it isn't always easy, it isn't always comfortable, but it's always good when Jesus invites you into it.
A lot of the things that you enjoy today at the Duluth Vineyard is because other people laid some pretty good, solid foundations, and that is being built upon. And now as you collectively take on the next assignment, don't look at the giants, don't look at the walled cities, don't look at what's going to make it hard. Look at what could come of it. You've been faithful in so much, I have no reason to doubt
God's going to lead you into more. So I wanted to lend my voice to this. I wanted to say a hoorah for you guys. We love you. We deeply appreciate you. And thank you for, in a sense, sharing your leaders with the entire movement, as Brenda and Michael are incredibly gifted and incredibly relevant to all that we're doing around the country. So, hey, God
you
bless
you. You will not withdraw your head.
So today, we want to celebrate what God's been doing here, 20 years of saying yes. And it's a big deal. Michael and Brenda, 20 years of ministry. That's a big deal. But we don't just want to look back at what God's done. We also want to look at what he's doing next. You know, God has a great plan for each and every one of us individually as a community. So the question is, will we say yes? Will we continue what Jesus started by letting him heal our relationships? How do we do that? I am so glad you asked. And I'm even gladder that the answer is in the Bible. Yeah, today we're going to let the Holy Spirit speak to us as we study the Bible. Yes, Holy Spirit, come. We're going to look at Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 27. Grab a Bible. It's on page 818 in the Bibles we got here. What we have is the Apostle Paul. He's writing a letter to the church in Philippi. And if you read Paul's letters to all the churches, you can tell Philippians is like his best church. When he writes his letters to the other churches, you can just see him shaking his head like, oh my. He's like confronts their brokenness and their heresies. But with Philippi, there's none of that. They're a good church. I kind of like to think that maybe here at the Duluth Vineyard, we're like Philippi. You know, we're not perfect by any means, but we're on track. We're headed towards Jesus. We've never had a split, and we have so much that we can celebrate. Yet Paul, he says to his best church, he says to us, watch out. You always have to pay attention to your relationships. So Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 27. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships, with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. All right, there is a lot of good stuff there. But for today, the Apostle Paul, he gives us two things that destroy relationships and four things that heal relationships. So here we go. First off, relationships are destroyed by selfishness. Selfishness. You know what this is? Paul's talking about the me too attitude. I know I've seen this in my life. When there are problems in my relationship, particularly in my marriage, if I take a look, if I really look hard, I can find a me too attitude. Oh, my wife. No. The me too attitude's in me. It's in me, the me too attitude. And what's so hard is that our culture, our society, it tells us that selfishness is good. Eugene Peterson, he writes this great book, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. And he writes, Our culture encourages and rewards selfish ambition without qualification. We are surrounded by a way of life in which betterment is understood as expansion, as acquisition, as fame. Everyone wants to get more for themselves. To be on top, no matter what it is the top of, is admired. There is nothing recent about this temptation. It is the oldest sin in the book, the one that got Adam thrown out of the garden and Lucifer tossed out of heaven. What is fairly new about it is the general admiration and approval that it receives. That what throws sand into the gears of our relationships is what the Apostle Paul calls selfish ambition. It is this culturally approved viewpoint that we always must end up on top, that we've always got to win, that we've always got to expand. There is no current limit in America to our selfish ambition for more, whatever more may be. God is inviting us to something different. Will we say yes? Here's a couple of just simple spiritual disciplines that can help us, can help God change our hearts when it comes to this. First, driving. When you're driving your car, how about letting other people go in front of you? How about letting them cut in on you on purpose? Yeah, you go first. We can do that. This is really practical, right? Rubber hits the road, literally. Second, in our conversations, listening. Especially you extroverts, okay? What if we listened more than we talked? We made it a discipline to listen more than we talk. Buy a stopwatch if you want, okay? Spiritual discipline. Next, relationships are destroyed by vain conceit. And this can also be translated vain glory or empty glory. This goes really deep in us humans, because we fear that we are nothing. We fear that we're nothing, that we don't matter in this giant universe, in this country, in this world, with the people. We fear that we're nothing. We just don't matter. And so we chase after glory. We go after validation and significance. We put that above everything else, even the truth. Today, all the charges and countercharges of fake news, that's what is behind this. Attacking any facts that don't give us glory. In our relationships, this is when we are so convinced we are right, we are adamant about our opinions, even though it's a complicated issue, and we don't actually fully understand, we don't know everything about it. You know what could really help here? Is if more and more we could just say, well, I might not be able to agree, but I don't know everything. You could be right. Tell me more. With Jesus' help, could we say that? Could we say it on social media? Okay, selfishness, vainglory, they destroy relationships. Let's look at some relationship healers. First off, holding on to the gospel. This is where Paul starts. He starts with the gospel. Hold on to the gospel. And this is way different than the world we live in. Oh my goodness. If you've ever had trouble in your relationships and you've gone to try to get some help, I bet they've tried to help with your communication skills. You've probably heard something like this. Oh, if you two want to stop fighting, you just need to stop with all the you statements and start making I statements. Don't say you are just a big fat slob who makes, you're just so selfish. No. Say, I feel angry and disrespected when you leave your clothes everywhere all over the house. Yeah, don't say, you're just this self-absorbed jerk. No, say, darling, I feel lonely and disconnected when you work all the time. You just work and work and work, and that tiny little time you do have, you spend that with your friends down at the corner bar. Okay, that's not bad. But Paul, he goes so much deeper. He goes to the root here, right? He goes to the gospel, right? That's where he's going all the way to the gospel. So, what's the gospel? Well, the word gospel means good news, right? It's the good news about Jesus. Jesus, maybe you know him? Jesus, the only Son of God who humbled himself. He became a human, lived a perfect life, suffered and died on the cross for us to pay the price, to go to hell in our place, also so he could give us his righteousness, his perfection, so we can have relationship with him, so that we could enter into his kingdom, where his perfect will is done. Have you gotten in on that? If we have, it affects our relationships. It speaks to us about our relationships. You know, so many of our breakdowns are because we don't understand the implications of the gospel. It hasn't changed our hearts. See, when I say, oh, I am better than you, I am more important than you, what I want is more important than what you want, the gospel says to me, oh, John, without Jesus, you're nothing. You're less than nothing. The gospel, it destroys our superiority. When we look at our relationships, are we holding on to superiority? Or do we have the proper perspective that the ground is level at the foot of the cross? Similarly, you know, when I think that you're better than me, you know, I'm just a worm. Remember, we all fear that we are nothing. We don't matter. When I think, you know, you should just get what you want. You could just walk all over me, maybe abuse me. The gospel reminds me that I am worth so much, I am so loved, that the God of the universe would give up everything for me, to suffer and die for me. The gospel destroys our inferiority. In our relationships, do we show up as dearly loved children of God, secure in that love? How do we say yes to healthy relationships? We hold on to the gospel. We also embrace our citizenship, our new citizenship in the kingdom of God. When Paul says, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel, he's using a word there for citizenship. He's basically saying, you're citizens of the gospel. You're citizens of the kingdom of God. And in Philippi, that citizenship mattered. Philippi was a town started by retired Roman soldiers. These guys, they loved the flag and parades and patriotism. And Paul's saying, that's all cool. But remember, your number one allegiance, your most important citizenship is not to where you were born, to your country, to your job, to your political party, even to your church denomination. It is to the kingdom of God, to the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're followers of Jesus, if that's our allegiance, well, it means saying yes to Jesus' way of life. We may want to hold a grudge, to hate the person that's hurt us. But Jesus wants us to forgive, to love our enemies. Do we say yes to the boss? You know, we may want to ignore the problems of our coworkers, our friends, and Jesus, he's asking us to say, can I pray for you right now? Do we say yes to the king? We may want to just be friendly and wave to our neighbors across the driveway. And Jesus is saying, no, I want you to go over there and to actually love them. Do we say yes to the Lord? In each of our lives, what would it look like if we said, you know, I am a new creation. I am a citizen of the kingdom of God. And what the king wants, what Jesus wants, he's going to get. What would have to change in our lives? When we say yes to Jesus, to healthy relationships, when we hold on to the gospel, when we embrace our citizenship in the kingdom of God, and when we accept God's love for us personally. Paul, he writes, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Okay, this is a little hard to follow, but basically Paul is asking, where do you get the most love, the most encouragement, the most comfort in your life? Is Jesus's love the best thing you got? Because if it is, then you can be one. You can have healthy relationships. See, healthy relationships, they start with accepting Jesus' love for us. If we don't have a healthy relationship with God, there's really no hope of healthy relationships with anyone else. Why? Because you can't give away what you don't got, right? How can you love and encourage someone when you feel down, discouraged? And it's not just that we can't give away what we don't have. So many unhealthy relationships are caused by us trying to get out of people what we can only get from God. Just take encouragement. Remember, we all have a need for encouragement. We all fear that we don't matter, that we're nothing. So we have this deep human need for people to validate us. We have this deep human need to hear, you know, good job, atta boy, get a pat on the back. Well, what if in my life I'm not getting enough of that from, you know, from my boss and my wife, my so-called friends? Is that just because they're all just a bunch of jerks, right? And I should like resent them and get angry at them in a passive-aggressive Minnesota kind of way? I've tried that. Doesn't help much. Because, you know, all the applause from our parents, our spouses, our bosses, anyone, all that applause isn't good enough to meet that deep need we have for validation and significance. The only applause that's good enough is the applause of the nail-scarred hands of Jesus. Well done, good and faithful servant. Do you know what I'm talking about? We need to get our needs met from Jesus. If we go anywhere else, it'll fail us. If we try to do it from other people, relationships, it'll poison them. Are you experiencing you? Are you accepting Jesus' love for you personally? If you're not, or you're not sure if you are, you know, just look for places in your life where you can open yourself up to receive that love. Maybe it's time alone, reading your Bible, or taking a walk in the woods. Maybe it's with other people. Small group is a great way to press into this. But be careful, okay? You can go to small group and still feel lonely and unloved if you're trying to get your needs met from the people there in small group. You need to go beyond the people to the God in the people. The Holy Spirit shining through them. That's what meets our needs. How do we say yes? How do we say yes to healthy relationships? One more way is we live according to the mindset of Jesus. What's Jesus' mindset? Well, Jesus had everything, right? So he's Son of God. He gave it all up, humbled himself to suffer and die on a cross to rescue us. We run after glory. We fear that we are nothing. Jesus gave up his glory. He made himself nothing on purpose for us. If we're going to say yes to Jesus, if we're going to say yes to healthy relationships, it means saying yes to going down so God can lift us up. When you think about the relationships in your life, you know, the one of the family relationships, the people at work or at school, you know, the friends. Do you see places where you need to live according to the mindset of Jesus? Where the Holy Spirit is calling us. He's calling us to humble ourselves. To say we're sorry and reconcile. When maybe we didn't do anything wrong, say you're sorry. To help others, to support them, to give them credit. Even though it'll put us behind, it'll cost us. To actually, you know, do the dishes or clean the bathroom or take out the trash when it's not our turn. Or maybe it's not even our job. To give. To sacrifice. To love. To say yes to Jesus. Where in our lives is Jesus calling us to that? All right, at this point, I want to invite Michael and Brenda to come up. Because their lives, what they've done here in Duluth is a great example of what we've been talking about, of saying yes to Jesus, about having healing in our relationships, about God working through their relationships to continue what Jesus started. And the first thing that I want to say to the two of you is just congratulations. I mean, seriously, 20 years serving this community so well. You know, just thank you so much. Thank you for the ways that you have loved us. And I know it can't always have been easy. You know, I'm guessing that when you guys came to Duluth, you totally didn't know how messy and troublesome people can be. You know, some of us are smiling at you right now, but we are stinkers. We really are. But I know that when God called you to Duluth, he gave you a vision for working with people. Tell us a little bit about that.
You're absolutely lovely, stinkers. No, one of the things that we picked up really early on was that how all ministry really does flow out of relationship. It's like, you don't, without relationship, you don't really have any kind of ministry, anything that you're involved in community. And so it's relationship with God, and then secondly, relationship with one another. And it's like everything flows from that if you want to have like any good lasting impact. It's like absolutely like necessary. And over the years, there's been lots of folks that have argued and said, no, I can do that and not have to have any relationship. And it's like, no, Jesus couldn't even do that. Like, you know, the relationship with us. And so that's really, really big. You know, along the way, when Brenda and I were considering coming up here, it was the fall of 97, we really felt like God kind of redirected us from the career path that I was on and what we were doing. I'd been making a living as an artist, and we were asking God, like, how this was supposed to work. And one of the things that he spoke to me really clearly was, Michael, I'm going to change your medium for a while. Your new medium is people, and I want you to paint a portrait in the twin ports of Jesus. And so immediately, like as an artist, I knew what to do. Like, you got to get to know the medium really well. You got to get to know the subject matter that you're trying to represent. You got to get to know Jesus. Got to get to know the humans that you're helping to lead. And then almost immediately, instead of seeing a finished painting, what I saw was like a finished mosaic of Jesus, just in my mind's eye. Do you know what a mosaic is? It's like a piece of art that's just got all these small little broken shards of, you know, glass or pottery. And what I saw was that you and I were like all the little broken shards of glass with really sharp edges, and that he was going to like put us in community together in a way that would actually represent Jesus really well. And so it's like that's like the picture of the body of Christ, all of us participating together, representing Jesus together. But over time, anybody who's been in a relationship knows that's hard.
Yeah, that's a beautiful vision that God gave you of community and working with people. We need healing, though. And so I know that the two of you, having been here for 20 years, have seen a lot of people, have seen yourselves press into healing in your relationships. Could you talk maybe a little bit about that?
Yeah, people are broken, and like the broken shards of glass. And so we hurt each other. We hurt each other, you know, outside of the church. We hurt each other in the church. We hurt each other with Jesus in our life. But the difference is with Jesus in our life, we can walk through that together. We can actually help each other get to Jesus. We can learn to forgive each other. And I've actually suffered, you know, probably some of my deepest wounds from people that I trusted in the church. But we've also walked through forgiveness together, and we still love each other, which doesn't happen outside of Jesus Christ. And so just that constant, like, kind of helping each other learn to turn to Jesus, helping each other get to Jesus, helping each other learn to experience and receive the healing. I remember at times when I've gotten hurt over the years, the Lord said, you know, you are going to do this pastoring thing, Brenda, and you can do it wounded and you will hurt people, or you can get healed and you will help people. And so there's just sort of like in leadership that constant call to come to Jesus over and over again and ask him for healing and help and forgiveness so that we can keep loving deeper and more deeply and walk in more wholeness and stay together instead of, you know, separating and going different directions. And so it's really cool to see not only that in our individual relationships, but to see that in marriages, to see the many, many people who have gotten healed and then turned around and lend a hand to somebody else who needed that in their marriage or in their relationships over the years, and that Jesus really does make us whole when we help each other come to Jesus and experience him more.
Yeah, that is great. And I know that Jesus heals our relationships so that we can be part of his mission, so that he can send us out to continue what he started. I know he's done that in my relationship with the two of you. Oh my goodness, the ways that you have loved me and taught me and just challenged me, it's changed my life. It's, you know, it's turned me into a pastor. But I'm just
oops.
I'm just one story, right? I'm just one story of so many in our communities. Tell us some cool stories about how you've seen God use community to advance his mission.
One of the stories that really stands out to me was we were looking at the pictures earlier of Biker Blessing. And just one of the ways that we just love a community of people that I feel like special connection to. And it was after one of those Biker Blessings, this guy showed up in church the next weekend. And the way that I met him was I was walking into the auditorium late, worship was already going on, and one of the guys handing out the programs was crying. And so I asked him, like, hey, what's going on? Are you okay? And he said, no, this guy just walked into church, and he was wearing a T-shirt. And I'm just going to tell you what the T-shirt actually said. He walked into church wearing a T-shirt that said, my parents said I could become anything I wanted to be, so I became an asshole. And this guy was handing out programs just crying. He's like, I love being in a place where that guy can come to church. And I thought, I'm
getting
up to...
And wear that shirt to church.
Yeah, wear that shirt to church, right?
Yeah, it's all right.
And so what... that's not what I said?
No. Okay. Keep on. Sorry, babe.
And so... So I was excited to get up to preach. You know, I wanted to see who that guy was and, like, where he was sitting. And he was sitting kind of in the front over on this side. And so afterwards, like, we hung out with him a little bit. And we used to do the barbecues after every service. So we were hanging out doing that. And he was just being kind of rude and crude around the table. And there was another family there. And nobody got offended. We were just chatting with him, asking questions, kind of ignoring his rudeness. And eventually he goes, you guys don't get easily offended, do you? And said, oh, I'm sorry, were you trying to offend us? I hadn't noticed. Like, what's that shirt say? You know, what are you saying? But over the period of, you know, actually just a few months, he gave his life to Jesus. His wife gave her life to Christ and got healed from this just immense depression. Mm-hmm. And then they went out with one of our church plants and are involved in the west side of Duluth at one of the Vineyard Church that's there, just doing really cool stuff. And it's just, like, I love seeing the way that God, like, gets at us and then begins to change us and heal us and equip us and then send us out for mission and for ministry. Just, again, bringing his love and his grace to people who might not receive it otherwise.
And you never know when you say yes what you're really saying yes to. Mm-hmm. I mean, I said yes to the little church in Lakeside, you know, that we came up to pastor of 40 people. And I thought, you know, my happy place is a church of a couple hundred. And, you know, God has done things that we never even really prayed for that much because we said yes again and again and again. And I know that God has these amazing purposes and plans for so many of us and for you as his followers. And, you know, you just say yes one day at a time. And he gives you what you need to do that, yes. And then he grows, you know, what he's calling you to. But you're called for your whole life. You're called over the breadth of your whole life to things that you don't even have any clue what he wants to do. But if you keep saying yes, he's going to do abundantly more than you could ask or even pray or dream of.
Yeah, amen. This saying yes, it really is for all of us. Saying yes to Jesus, yes to healthy relationships, him working through those relationships. Well, one thing that we love to do here at the Vineyard in relationship is pray for people. It's a way to bless them and celebrate them. So I'd like to invite up, there's some folks that are come up now, and we're going to pray. We're going to take a few moments to pray for Michael and Brenda. But again, it's a way to celebrate them, a way to thank them for what they've done here in this community.
Roxy, would you come out and pray? Thank you. Roxy was a part of our original church council, like way back in the good old days, and I want her to come up here and pray as well. Thank you.
Well, Holy Spirit, we just welcome you here. Thank you for your presence. We just pray that you would just fall even more right now on Michael and Brenda. We honor them. We thank you for them. God, our lives have been enriched through what you've done in and through them. Say, come Holy Spirit. So I was praying yesterday. I felt like God gave me this picture of increasing your leverage. And that you've already leveraged the gifts that God has put in you, and God has done so much. But I just felt like he was saying that he's just even in this next season going to just give more impact based on what you put out in effort. So just come with that, Lord.
Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would fall even more on Michael and Brenda right now. And God, as I've been praying for them, just the very familiar passage of the Great Commission just kept coming to mind. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them in the ways of my commands, and just how faithfully Michael and Brenda have done that over the years and continue to do that. God, I just thank you for that and the difference that it's made in the lives of so many people, myself included, that they don't just teach us about Jesus, they teach us how to live like Jesus. And how that just continues. I mean, that anointing that God has given you is just continues to increase, and he just gives you more and more as you walk through life. Continue to follow him. And so, God, would you just bless that and all that you have for them in this grand adventure of joining with you to make disciples of all nations. Yeah.
And Lord, as they continue to celebrate and look back on the 20 years and look forward to what you're going to do next through them and through this church, I pray, Father, that they would feel your delight and your good pleasure over them.
That's right.
Lord, I just hear you say, well done, my son. Well done, my daughter. And God, would they just be able to sit with you and just bask in your love?
Papa, we just thank you for obedience. We thank you that they invited us along. And Father, I just ask that you'd show them how that lever has to have a base. And that base is you, but it's also all of these people that love them so much.
Yeah, so Father, again, we just say thank you, thank you, thank you for everything you're doing. Yeah, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks, you guys. Very cool. Well, here's what we'd like to do. We'd like to kind of, I think, wrap up the service with just a ministry, really, for all of us. I honestly think that God is inviting you, as you even, like, if this is, like, one of your first times here, like, no matter how long you've been around, I think God's always inviting us into something and inviting us to say yes to him. And sometimes it's just repairing a relationship. Sometimes it's stepping out in obedience to something that he's inviting you into. Sometimes it's taking a risk and beginning to actually exercise your faith in kind of a more upfront kind of way. I'm not sure what God's inviting you into, but I know he is for every single person here. And so here's what we want to do. I'm going to have you guys stand up, and we're going to pray over each other and invite you to respond in some ministry as the worship team here in just a minute will continue to lead us into worship. And so let's just pray for a second, and then I'm going to ask God to speak to you about what he's inviting you to say yes to, and then I'm going to invite you to respond, and if you're on the ministry team, you can respond as well just by coming up front and beginning to pray for one another. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the way that you're constantly inviting us to respond to what you're doing in our lives and in the world around us. And Lord, would you speak to each one of us about what you're inviting us to say yes to. And it just dawns on me, even as I pray that, that God doesn't always show you what you're saying yes to. But he's inviting you to say yes to him. I'll do whatever. Yes, God, I want your will in my life. I don't even know what it is. But it's like you're signing the check before the amount's made out. You're just saying yes. If you don't know what a check is, you can Google it. Heavenly Father, thank you for the way you're inviting us. I ask that you would give each of us the courage right now to respond to you. To say yes to what you're up to.
Yeah, and as we're praying, I sense that sometimes it feels really, really big. Like it's too big. It feels too risky. And you can't do it without people praying for you. And so in those cases, there's hundreds of times that I've just let people lay hands on me and ask God to empower, to do the hard part of helping me to receive what I need to do, the big ask. Or it seems so small that it seems insignificant, like it's just not going to matter that much. And the enemy tries to get us to sweep it under the carpet. And so it doesn't matter if it's a small ask or a big ask. The answer for us, the place, the posture of our heart is a surrendered heart. Yeah. And so would you just, even now, even as we talked about the need for forgiveness or healing, or I don't love people the way I want to love people, or I don't show up in my relationships the way I want to show up, or I don't even know how to receive his love because I am self-condemning. It doesn't matter what it is. It's a posture of surrender that he asked for today. So would you just, even as we're praying, we're going to worship a little bit. We never want to walk in and out of here the same. We always want to come and be responsive people, and let the Lord have what he wants in our life today. So Father, we just ask for the courage. And courage just means we do it afraid. It doesn't mean we're brave. We're just afraid, but we say yes anyway. And would you give us that? Would you give us the ability to say yes anyway? Where we need the most courage, God, would you come now? Would you put your Holy Spirit in us?
So if God's highlighting something to you, or you're on the ministry team, come on up here right now. Just come right up to the front. Let's begin to pray for one another. And these guys will lead us in worship. You can hang out in here as long as you want to, but let's, if God's highlighting something to you, or you just need to say yes to follow him, whatever he's going to highlight, come on up here. And we need to do this with one another. We need community, relationship, in order to be able to continue to follow him. And so we just invite you into that right now.